welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Well, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We got all the family in together. We're going to do, we had a film last week, so that was a bit different. This week we're going to have live drama involving everyone. Yeah, some people are trying to crawl under their chair, even at this very minute. Don't worry, there's not much acting required. Nothing more than, say, Tom Cruise could summon up. Sorry, Tom. What we're going to attempt to do here this morning is the story of Easter. All the story of Easter. Because you know in the Bible you've got four Gospels. You've got four different people that wrote down what they saw and what reports they got in. And it's very interesting because, of course, the resurrection stories are in every Gospel. And they take up a major part of the Gospels, that whole last week of Jesus' life. And it's putting the different stories together, and it's a really interesting event to do. For example, did you know there are at least seven Marys? Seven different characters called Mary. Actually, this isn't as unusual as you might think, because Mary was a very common name. Miriam would have been the Hebrew name, so a lot of girls were called Mary. But surely if you were going to make the book up, I think this is an evidence for its truth, you'd have made sure that your story was clear by using a few different names, you know. And then Mary did, and then there was the other Mary, and then there was this Mary. And I think there's seven, but some Marys, like Mary, who was married to Cleopas, might be the same Mary as the mother of James and John, but they don't really know. So it's just interesting. So bringing it all together, there are some things you don't quite know, because, for example, if you were in the cafe earlier, you might go up to somebody and say, oh, I talked to Adrian and Den in the cafe. Adrian and Den were in the cafe. Somebody else might say, I talked to Eileen in the cafe. Eileen was in the cafe. The two stories are apparently completely different, but both are absolutely true. And you get a lot of that with the Gospels, that one person said, talks about one person they met, and somebody talks about the other. Particularly the Marys. You're never quite sure how many Marys are around. All right? And you never, sometimes you're not even sure which Mary they refer to. I think it's Luke that talks about the other Mary. Well, there's seven of them, Luke. Be a little more specific. So it's quite fun. One of the Marys is really easy. She's not in the Gospel. She's only mentioned in the book of Romans, Paul writing a letter. So we can move her out of the story, or maybe not, because you still don't really know. So there's six Marys that are involved in the Gospels. Probably the most famous one, of course, is Mary Magdalene. And that means Mary from Magdala. That's what the name means, because most people only have one name, which when you were all called Mary made things difficult. So you'd be known as Mary from, or Mary the son of, no, you wouldn't be known as that, Mary the daughter of, or Mary the wife of, or Mary the mother of, to try and distinguish. Unfortunately, that could also fail quite a lot, because there were a lot of people also called Joseph, Jesus, Joshua, those kind of common names. So to find the Jesus son of Joshua in Palestine, in Israel at that time, is quite easy. There's quite a lot of them around. And you'll probably find, you know, a Joseph that was married to a Mary that had a son called Jesus, you know, and had other sons called James and John, because it was a common name. And so let's try and put everything together. All right, we're going to have some different dramatic stations. I could get into this. I could have done drama, couldn't I? I'm just the narrator. Dancing? That was my artistic poses, that was. So the first station that we're going to have, first dramatic station, is going to be the cross. So we're going to start on Friday evening and very quickly move to Easter morning. And this area here is going to be the cross. This is going to be the place where Jesus was crucified, which was outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem is sort of the main part of the hall. And over here, we're going to have the tomb entrance and the tomb actually up here. It's the opposite way round, actually, to what it would have been. You'd have gone down into the tomb rather than up into the tomb. But it would have been a little bit expensive to excavate down into Blue Lounge just for the drama for the morning. So just reverse it in your minds. So I'm gonna have some actors to help out. And the first, I'm glad there's some volunteers. Thank you. I've got the first one sorted, and then all the rest we're going to make up as we go along. Okay. So let me just sort through my names so that I've got all the names that I need. Yep, they should all be beautifully in order. There's the one that was missing. Right. So we started on Friday night. One of the things that's interesting, apart from these three male people we're going to start with, is, and again, I think it's one of the things we can see that the New Testaments are authentic, is that the women are so prominent. You've got to get back into the mindset of 2,000 years ago, where a woman could perhaps be even regarded as not a reliable witness. And the general status of women was nothing compared to the status of a man. So to have stories where the women really are the main characters, and actually the men don't come out that great, most of them. These ones do all right, but the rest of them, most of them, it's not a good example at the beginning there. And the women are really strong characters, and I think it's great that we've got that right in the beginning there of Christianity, the fact that women are not supposed to be second-class citizens. You know, it often happens through religion, all sorts of religions, including Christianity, that it's used to put women down. Right there at the beginning, it's elevating women as the first people that see the risen Christ. Amen? So, right, so the ones we need, I've already asked Aidan to be Jesus. So come on, could you just go up there and... Unfortunately, at this point, you're dead. You've died on the cross, so if you could just... You're supposed to hold that and be on the cross. Hold that. There you are. Right. Okay. Don't look so happy. Right. You haven't got to stand there that long for that, so it's just not working. I need a Joseph of Arimathea and a Nicodemus. So I'm going to choose his dad, which for reasons that will become apparent in a minute. He's just recovering from leading the worship. So you just hold that. So when if I give you a name, if you just hold that like that, okay, hold hands, thank you. You can put it in your pocket when you've got the carrying job to do in a minute. And Nicodemus, so I need somebody strong and responsible. So let's take Adrian, as I got you mixed up. Right, so you two are together. So these two guys are rich and wealthy. And they've gone and got permission on the Friday night to look after the body of Jesus. He's died by now on the cross, and they want to get his body down and get his body to respect it properly and to dress it in spices and all kinds of things like that. So they're going to do that. They've got an empty tomb that they're going to use for that, that happens to be available fairly nearby. And they get together all the spices and stuff, about 100 pounds worth of spice. So they're going to treat this body properly and all the cloth and stuff. And they just nip into the tomb and drop off the spices. So they drop the spices off, 100 pounds worth, and come back out again. They must have done that earlier because you wouldn't want to carry a body and 100 pounds of spices. So they nipped in there. And then they go down to the cross where Jesus is, having got permission to take him down. And they take Jesus' body down from the cross. And then they've got to carry it. Hence his dad. Stop. Okay, right. A dramatic pause just there. Okay. So they're busy carrying him to the tomb. Now, interestingly, it's women who've been around the foot of the cross. And there's quite a lot of women who've been around the foot of the cross. We've got Mary Magdalene. Mary, not surprisingly. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Or James and John. Joanna, who was the wife of Chusa, one of Herod's stewards. And Salome. Salome was probably Mary's sister. Did you know that? Mary, the mother of Jesus' sister, mother of James and John. Okay, so when Jesus on the cross, you remember he said to John, look after her as your mother, and to Mary, his mother, you know, go to him as your son. He was actually telling John to look after his auntie. Did you know that? Yeah, there you go. I didn't until this weekend as I was studying all this. So there's those women. Now, also present may have been Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she's around a lot, but she's not specifically mentioned. And Mary, the wife of Clopas, who we see is possibly a woman who appears in a couple of places or not. Because we're not really sure, because there's two men called Clopas, or is there only one? You never really know. So what we're going to do, we have four women that that were definitely around and definitely mentioned to represent all the women, okay? And what they're doing is they're carefully watching what these two, who they probably don't know because these are rich, wealthy men in Jerusalem and the women are all from Galilee. So they're probably, well, some of them are rich. Joanna is fairly wealthy and Salome may have been wealthy, Mary's sister, but they were financing Jesus' ministry. But anyway, Mary Magdalene was probably quite wealthy as well. Did you know that? So, I need four ladies, four women. Joel, you're not a woman. Yep, do you want to come down? Mary Magdalene is on the top. Let's have some younger ladies as well, please. And another woman. Thank you very much. Right, so if you guys come down, because you're kind of... We're going to just stick you here for a minute, and you're just you're actually spying on what these guys are doing. So sort of try and hide amongst this crowd here on the front. Now you can stand up, okay, and keep your name sort of in front of you for when we need you. And remember who you are, because you might have some things to do. Whether you notice the women watching or not, I really don't know. But what they did then was they took Jesus' body to the tomb. And then they laid him down in the tomb. Could you twizzle him this way just for dramatic purposes? Whether they twizzled Jesus or not is not actually clear from the Gospels. That's it. That's great. Thank you very much. I said I chose him because he'd got a white T-shirt on, so he looks slightly Jesus-like. Right, so they take him to the tomb and then they're busy wrapping up the body and packing in all the spices. This is what you did to bodies in those times. And these women are outside wondering, why on earth are they taking so long in there, but not daring to go in because these are wealthy guys who they don't know. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are part of the Jewish ruling council, actually. So they're probably quite afraid that they could have been part of the group that got them arrested. So they're probably very confused as to what's going on. After a while, they come out of the tomb, and at the tomb entrance, which is this bit here, they roll the huge stone into place. Now, the way the tombs were done, it would have been fairly easy to roll it into place. It would have been on a slope, but massively heavy, and then it would have gone zzz, poof, and shut, okay? Making it extremely difficult to get open. And then those guys returned home. So you can actually go and sit down, if you like, in Jerusalem, because you're all in Jerusalem. And the women are thinking, interestingly, we need to prepare the body. That's what it says they want to do. Actually, the guys have been doing that, but you know what women are like. They're going to do it properly. And actually, they may not know that it's been done. Because they were waiting outside. They certainly didn't go inside. So Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus have gone, the stone has been rolled into place, and so the women, it's starting to get dark, and because it's the end of Friday, as when it gets dark, it goes into the Jewish Sabbath, because Jewish days ran from evening to evening. So the second day, if you like, is about to start at any minute with Friday evening, and you're not allowed to work, and you shouldn't be out doing stuff during the Sabbath. It's also getting dark, and they probably don't want to be wandering around the streets when it's dark anyway. And so they are going to return back to their own place in Jerusalem. Now, we don't know quite where they went. It seems like a lot of them were gathering together, but they were probably using different... Christians were certainly using different properties, all right? But so you four, if you could go back, and we're going to just put you all in one house for today, for simplicity. So if you just follow me, and then you'll know where you will be forever after. You are in the ladies' house here in Jerusalem. Have a cup of tea. I mean, actually, can you imagine what it must have been like in that house at that time? It must have been very down, very depressed, because Jesus, their Lord, the one they've given up everything for, some of them have been financing it out of their own pockets, he's dead. And at this point in time, there's definitely not much faith around that Jesus is coming back. He's dead, they've seen their leader crucified, and he's dead lying in the tomb. And so, we need to move to Sunday morning. Now, scholars get their knickers in a twist over Sunday morning. because the different Gospels, one, they talk about early morning before the sun had risen, others talk about dawn, and others talk about just after the sun has risen. I would say it's very easy to explain. The ladies want to get to the tomb at the very first opportunity. Right? So they're up really early. It's still dark when they're leaving the house. As they're walking towards the tomb, so if you can walk towards the tomb with your spices and looking really quite down and stop there, freeze frame. They're walking towards the tomb, and as they're walking towards the tomb, the sun is rising. They don't want to be out in the dark anyway. This is the first opportunity. They couldn't go Saturday because Saturday was all the Sabbath until it was dark, which would have been Saturday evening. So they couldn't go Saturday evening. And so they've got to wait till Sunday morning, the third day, before they can go back to the tomb. So it's now Sunday morning. It's their very first opportunity to be able to get there. They're probably wondering what they're going to do with the stone. But they have heard that there are guards there to make sure that the body's not stolen. So presumably they're thinking, well, those guards are probably the ones that can make sure we can get the stone out of the way. That's probably a hope anyway. So they're walking towards the tomb, and the sun is rising on them as they walk. Meanwhile, at some point in all this, Jesus, of course, rose from the dead. You can resurrect now, Aidan, as you are alive. I suppose we should all cheer and clap, really. Okay. Now, we're just going to have a special area called backstage for Jesus at the moment because he makes regular appearances throughout the story. So this is backstage, okay? When he's by the guitar, he's not in the plot. Where he is, we don't really know. But so those guys are still walking towards. Jesus has risen from the dead, and we've got some guards at the actual entrance of the tomb. All right, so I need some big, burly guards. Yeah, Joel, you can be a guard. Come on then. I need other volunteers. Thank you, Richard, volunteering that back there. Come on, Mike, you'd make a good guard. And Nigel would make a good guard. And let's have Nabil. Can you be a guard? You're looking really. David, I think you'd make a good guard. Right. Okay, so you're standing in front of the tomb and you're guarding the tomb. Right? And your lives are at stake because if something happens to this, you're either going to get whipped and beaten or it's just not going to be good. Shall we go there? You can hold the guards card, yeah, especially for you. Right, so they're the guards. He's a very happy looking guard, that one called Mike, isn't he? It's a granddad guard, yeah. How can granddads ever look unhappy? Now, so the guards are there standing guard, and you get this passage of scripture from Matthew. Suddenly, the earth shook violently, and an angel of the Lord... Oh, I need an angel. Are they shaking? I need an angel of the Lord. Let's see, somebody suitable. That's clearly you, is it, Chris? Come on, Chris. Your angelic angel. Just appear before them. Okay, what he does is really funny actually, because he turns up, if you could just all take one step forward, because you're actually standing on top of the tomb, that's it, you're standing in front of it, the angel appears, he goes behind them, pushes the stone out the way, and actually it says, sit, well he's an angel, it doesn't take much effort, but... Quite funnily enough, it says, here you are, he sits on top of it. Is that why you wanted this part? A stone for you. Well, wherever did it happen that angels were slightly camp? You're a mighty warrior. Warrior, not warrior. The guards, because he doesn't look like Chris, the guards are actually terrified. And it says here, they fell like dead on the floor. I answers. Right. Now, I think it's really interesting, because how do we know all this story? Because none of the main characters are there. I reckon, and it's a very reasonable premise, that one of these guys gets very affected by what goes on. Maybe more than one of them. All right, because only the guards know about this. So one of the guards must have told somebody that wrote the story down what actually happened. Interesting, isn't it? So, but anyway, the angel, after sitting on the stone for a while, goes and sits in the tomb, apparently. So, you can stand in the tomb. So, you can go in there now. You've caused all your trouble. You haven't sat down on the stone. So, these guys sort of tentatively get up. Yeah. They take a peek inside the tomb, because, of course, the tomb is open. They don't actually see the angel again. Angels are like that. People sometimes see them, sometimes don't. It's still like that now. You can have a room. There'd be angels present now. Can't see any. Maybe somebody can. But anyway, they don't see the angel. But what they do see is their worst nightmare has come true, because the body's gone. So then they need to go and see another bunch of guys. And if we could just choose some of the ones over here, like Peter and Jimmy. You look suitably mean looking. Keith, would you like to be a chief priest and a religious leader? There you go, that's your card. Okay. So you are the religious authorities in Jerusalem, probably at the temple. So the guards, in fear and trepidation, they realise they've got to go and make a report to the religious leaders. So if you can make... And it just says that some of them went. So if the first four of you go to the religious leaders... And the other two disappeared back off into town, hoping they wouldn't be found out. And if you stay over there with the... Yeah, when they get there, they start to tell them what exactly went on. And they devise a plan together. It ends up with the religious people bribing the guards to say that the disciples had stolen the body while they were asleep. Now, this is a very terrible plan. Because if a soldier had fallen asleep whilst on duty, they would be probably crucified, actually. They would certainly be put to death. So the story can't possibly be true, because the soldiers would have also been put to death. But they're allowed to get away with it. And the religious authorities just do a bit of arranging over there. Concocting plans. You're in a freeze frame, remember, still. The women walk into the tomb. All this was going on. And, they bribed the guards to say that disciples stole the body in the night while they were sleeping. So, while that's happening, the ladies, which is Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and John, Joanna and Salome, make their way to the tomb entrance. That's it. Use your best acting skills. Oh, you are. Right. Okay, so they make their way to the tomb. At the tomb entrance, they're a bit shocked because they see the stone's been rolled away. Mary Magdalene, who's a bit of a leader amongst the crew, she's the most concerned. She peeks inside. This is the entrance. Mary Magdalene was an amazing person, but she didn't have x-ray vision. So, anyway, she looks into the tomb, and she doesn't go in. I don't think she goes in. But she sees that it's empty, and she doesn't see an angel in there at this point. She's really concerned that the body has been stolen, not by the disciples, but by the guards who were supposed to be standing outside. Where on earth are the guards? Because she knows that they wouldn't have left their posts, because if they'd left their posts, they'd been in such trouble. Again, possibly using their lives. So Mary reacts immediately and decides to run and tell the disciples in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was a town, not as big as Scarborough, but it was like Scarborough in that there were many streets, so you could go through Scarborough to Jerusalem in different ways. So Mary starts to run. You can do that sort of cinematic running. Back to the disciples in Jerusalem. Freeze frame. You're still there wondering what you're going to do. And we're going to jump to the disciples in Jerusalem. So their place is down the back here. Okay? So we need another bunch of people just at the back here. So quick volunteers. Yeah, that's great, Josh. Yeah, come on, Richard. I thought I had you earlier. What were you? You were a guard. Oh, you were the guard that ran away. Yes, come on then. Come on then, Josh. Now, I don't know about you, but there was more than one disciple. But as you got there first, you were a little bit impetuous, so we'll make you Peter. Okay, James, where are you? There's James. Come and be John, James, just to be even more confusing. And then we need other disciples, so come on, you can be a disciple, and another disciple, and another disciple, and another disciple. This is kind of the men's house. Tony, can you be a disciple? And you two guys, can you be disciples? Three guys, be disciples. That should be enough. Whether it was just the 11, or there were others there, we don't really know. In fact, there were probably more there. So they're hanging out at that place. Oh, disciples. He can be a disciple. Oh, there you are. You can hold the disciples label so that this is readable. Right. Where are we? Okay. So, yes, so she runs to the disciples. So, Mary, you can now finish your run all the way to the disciples, and you're trying to tell them what's going on. Meanwhile, back at the tomb entrance, Mary, the mother of James, and Joanna go in. Salome, it appears you didn't. You stayed outside. She might have stayed outside because she was afraid of the tomb, afraid of the dead bodies, afraid of what's happened. But Salome seems to have stayed outside. And those two go in. Okay? Whereupon, they meet Angel One. Oh, why did I choose him? It just says that he looked like a young man dressed in white robes, so use your best imagination. But he's also now been joined by another angel, okay? Let's have Jossie the angel. Dressed in black, so, you know, he's a black angel. Imagine he's in white. He is young, but he's in black. Chris is in white, but yes. So one of the angels, I think it was the Jossie angel, says, there's no need to fear, he says to the ladies, because obviously you walk into the tomb and there's two young men there. It's just pretty scary. There's no need to fear, for I know you've come looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's no longer here. He has risen from the dead. I like the acting. Yes, yes, you get extra. Oh, that reminds me. In the middle of the speech, I have prizes for the best actor. And I have prizes for good listeners and good actors. So, I mean, Richard was a reasonable guard, wasn't he? Who was the other guard that ran off? It was not you, Kelly. Oh? Nabil, where is he? There he is. Oh, I can't see him. He's hiding behind a pillar. There you go. Right. How's the acting going on at the temple with the concocting and the... It's very good. Funny that. I'm also looking for really good listeners, but there you are. You can... in mid-flow. We really should get back to the Easter story. Okay. Suddenly the standard of the acting is hitting the roof. I'll keep them there for a minute. I'm going to keep my eye on the acting, I think. Oh! That's how... I mean... I'm overwhelmed. Right. You know, you go up to Steve and Joseph, it's just in the round. This is just round and round. Now... He's no longer here. He's risen from the dead as he promised he would. Come, you can see the place where his body lay. So these two ladies are the first ones to really find out that this was where Jesus was and to find out about it. which I think is really interesting because we don't really know much about them. But it is two women.
They're going desperately for that second egg.
And says to them, then go at once and give his disciples this message. Jesus has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. Okay? So the women, being obedient to the angels, run out of the tomb and meet Salome. They start telling her what's just happened. Whilst they're telling her what's happened, Jesus, appears right in front of them. There you go. Woo! Round of applause, please. It's Jesus. Rejoice, he says. I mean, can you imagine it if somebody you dearly love has died and they appear in front of you? And then they say, rejoice. Because you're thinking, mind you, they have had the pre-warning from the angels. So, well, they're already rejoicing. Look at that. Salome's looking a little unsure, but of course she didn't go in. Right, rejoice. And they fall before him and take hold of his feet. Take hold of his feet, you're acting, it's okay. He washed them last year. And worship him. Jesus says, don't be afraid, and tells them to tell the disciples to go to Galilee, or he calls them my brothers at that point. So the women, having met with Jesus, and probably wanting to stay with Jesus, have been told by Jesus to go and tell the disciples. So they head back to Jerusalem, so they go back the way they came in. So if you're walking back, and if you just stop where about Dan is in freeze frame, okay? And Jesus, you can go backstage again. You've done your appearance for now. The women are totally overcome by what's happened. So they're not talking to anyone on their way back. It says they didn't talk to anyone. But they know they've got an important message for the disciples. Okay. And angels 1 and 2, you can just go to the back a minute because you're sort of not visible again at the moment, so that'll help us. Right, are you with all this? It was pretty chaotic that Sunday. People everywhere. Right, back in over there with the Jerusalem disciples, we've got Mary Magdalene telling the disciples they've taken the Lord's body from the tomb and we don't know where he is now. All right, so she's completely unbelieving that anything like a resurrection. She just thinks the body's been stolen. So then what happens is Peter, John and Mary again are deciding that they're going to run back to the tomb entrance. Okay, so the three of them set out. That's it, this sort of running. Okay, stop there. Now, Mary, you're a bit puffed. So if you, because you've just run all the way there, blurted out all this story, got up really early before the sunrise. So if you just stay there in your running pose, because the two men are out distancing you, so you can keep running. Peter was bigger and older than John, and John was the young man. So Peter gets about that far, and John has already got to the tomb entrance. So you're about there, okay? So they're running in. Well, maybe Mary's doing more of a fast, dignified walk, but I don't know. But they certainly got separated again. And, right, there we go. So John arrives first. He looks in, but he doesn't go in. We don't know why he doesn't go in. Maybe he's starting to believe. Maybe he's just thankful. Maybe he's just thoughtful. Maybe he's just respectful of the fact that this is Jesus' burial place. Maybe he's having a spiritual encounter. Or maybe, because going to dead bodies would cause defilement. So maybe he didn't want to go into the dead body. But whatever reason, he doesn't actually go in. He just sees the strips of linen lying there, which you can just imagine, neatly. There's nobody, like Mary Magdalene has said, but he's thinking, why are the grave clothes there, neatly laid out? If the body had been stolen, it would have been stolen with the grave clothes. It made it easier to carry, if nothing else. And they certainly wouldn't have been left neatly there. It looked like the body had just disappeared out and they'd just floated down. So he's there pondering that. Peter runs up to the tomb. Mary Magdalene is not far behind, so you can make another step. Peter arrives at the tomb entrance, but he's not really renowned for thoughtful behaviour, old Peter, in the Gospels, is he? So he doesn't stop where John is. He just runs straight in. He sees the strips of linen lying there, and in the body shape, And the burial cloth, the head wrapping laid out, it says, like a folded napkin. The thing that had been around his head, a folded napkin lying there. It's very interesting that. Did you know that the Jewish custom was when you were eating and you were using a napkin, if when you had finished the meal, you expected to come back, you folded your napkin and put it down, rather than just throwing it down onto the table, the eating place. So it's very interesting that the napkin that had been around his head is folded neatly. It was a clear message, I'm coming back. I expect to return. But it's one you could easily miss if you don't know customs and things. So I'm coming back soon. So at the tomb, then John goes in to join Peter. It says in the Gospels, John saw for himself that Jesus had risen. Although at that time, the disciples did not know that the scriptures predicted that Jesus had to arise. They hadn't worked it all the links out. But at this point, John has seen that Jesus has risen. All right? Mary Magdalene is still running. Just do your nice running pose. And meanwhile, we've got the ladies going back over there. All right? They're going back to the Jerusalem house. So they go all the way back to the disciples' house to give them the message, which is a little more complete, if you remember, than Mary's message, because Mary just said, the body's been stolen. They get back to the disciples and say, the body's not been stolen, but actually, we've seen him. But of course, the reaction of the men is what? They don't believe a word. They're just women. They're just emotional. They're just getting carried away. And so, I don't know how long that went on for, but it would seem that at some point, the women probably got a bit frustrated with these men. Look at that frustration. And so they went back to their place, which is over there in Elka Street. But, you know, I think for the standard of the acting, even though they've had one, they've got to have more. Salome's getting one by Grace this time. You go, actors. So, they've gone back to their place. They didn't get anywhere with the disciples. Mary Magdalene arrives at the tomb entrance. No, she doesn't. Stay there a minute. She's on her way to the tomb entrance. John and Peter decide that they're really confused. They don't really know what's going on. It says that Peter was perplexed. All right? They don't seem to say very much, but what they do is they leave the tomb and they start making their way back. And so they go back, so you can go back the way the ladies just went. They just happened to take another street, by which time Mary Magdalene, probably a little bit puffed by now, because we're talking some distances here, arrives back at the tomb. Yeah, it was good acting. Yeah, you do. You should. Yep, you should. There we go. Stay outside. I think. Take an egg. So Mary Magdalene has arrived at the tomb entrance. And John and Peter, where are they? Oh, they've got all the way back. Okay. Right. Mary is weeping as she looks in the tomb. She's crying because of the emotion of everything that's happened. Jesus is dead. And now, just to really mess with everybody, they've stolen the body. How could somebody do that to people in grief? But as she's weeping, she looks into the tomb and sees two angels. You can take some steps forward. She looks into the tomb, sees two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been laid. One is at his head. And the other one was at his feet. And as Mary Magdalene goes into the tomb, they ask her, Woman, why are you weeping? I don't know how they said it. But of course, they've been angels. They don't understand why Mary is weeping. Jesus is alive. Can she not see it? The tomb is empty. He told you all about this. What's going on? Get it into your head. Woman, why are you weeping? It's just some good acting. I missed it all. Could you just... hang on a minute. Rewind. Could you just do the acting, please? Definitely. Yep. And one for the sitting. Yeah. One for Mary by Grace. Right. She's doing very well. She's got the biggest part, really. Right.
Woman, why are you weeping? Mary Magdalene is still completely unbelieving because she says to the angels, they've taken the Lord's body away and I don't know where they've placed him. Oh, look at that acting there. So she's completely confused. Now, John and Peter, over there, that's it, wave to us, thank you very much. They've made their way back to the Jerusalem disciples, but it seems they don't really say very much at this point. Jesus, it says, believes, sorry, John believes that Jesus is risen, but it's like he doesn't really fully understand what that means. Because later when Jesus appears to them, he thinks it's a ghost. But he's thinking through all the implications, and Peter's even more unsure. He's also got to face the fact, of course, that if Jesus is risen, he'd denied him. So he's probably going through absolute turmoil. That's not absolute turmoil. No, that wasn't worth an egg. He's also got the... Right, so he's perplexed. Back at the tomb, where Mary is inside looking at these angels, she turns round and Jesus is standing right in the entrance. Big cheer for Jesus! I'm not sure Jesus danced the YMCA. Anyway. But she's so distraught. She's weeping. Her eyes are red. And she's been in the gloom of the tomb. Jesus is standing right in the entranceway. So he just looks like a black, dark shadow standing in the bright sunlight. So she completely doesn't recognize him at this point. Jesus says to Mary, very similar question to the angels, woman, why are you weeping? But then adds, and I don't know, it's a bit like his sense of humour, really, isn't it? Who are you looking for? Well, he knows full well, it's me. At this point, Mary thinks it's the gardener, because this is in a place where there's lots of tombs and surrounded by beautiful gardens. So she thinks it's the gardener's turned up. So she says to him, sir, if you've moved him, please tell me where you've placed his body, and I will come and collect it. I'm not sure how she imagined she was going to do that, but she says this. This time, Jesus just says to her, Mary. Interesting, he just uses her name, Mary, and it's enough. And she turns back to him, it says, because she's not really interested in the gardener. She turns back to him and cries out, Rabboni, which means something like my dear Lord. John translates it as teacher, but we don't tend to think of teachers as dear and precious. So my dear Lord is probably a better translation for us. And she rushes out to Jesus and she's just clinging on to him. She's never going to let go of him this time. But he says, no, don't cling on to me, don't cling on to me. Because there's things to be done. They can't just stay there clinging on to each other. And so he tells her to return to the disciples and give them the message. Okay? So, Mary Magdalene leaves Jesus and runs. You can go that way if you like. You're going to go that way. No, go that way. So she returns to Jerusalem, and Mary Magdalene, she tells them what she's seen, and then she goes and joins back up with the women again. Now, the story's mostly coming to the end. You've got all these different people moving around Jerusalem, using different streets and not bumping into one another. And we're just really at the end here. So let's just come to the end of what's going on. There's another story that happens where Jesus meets with two disciples on the road to Emmaus, which you might know. One of them, we're told, is Clopas. Whether it's the same Clopas that John mentions in another place, people completely disagree on. If it is, then there's two of them. It's probably, the two disciples are probably Clopas and his wife Mary, because Mary is mentioned as the wife of Clopas. So we'll have Mary and Clopas, I think, as the two disciples, okay? So I need another two disciples, a man and a woman. That's Suzanne. You make a very nice Clopas. And Ron, you could make a... No, nice Mary, rather. And you could make a... So if you go over there, sort of over in the... Because you're some distance away from... just in the cafe. Okay. So they're walking away from Jerusalem, and suddenly Jesus meets with them. Get over there, Jesus.
Hello.
He has a long encounter with these guys. They even have break bread together. And in fact, it's when they break bread that they actually recognize who he is. It's interesting, though, because it's very unlikely that these two were at the Last Supper. So maybe they recognized Jesus because of the breaking of the bread at the feeding of the 5,000. Again, we don't really know. We just know they weren't part of the original 12 or 11 as it is now. But anyway, he tells them that I'm the Christ. And of course, they're totally overcome. And instead of leaving Jerusalem and going to Emmaus, they decide they've got to run all the way back to Jerusalem. Yeah, Jesus' acting has gone up a level here. I can see he's desperate for an Easter egg. If you took a freeze frame there, and as the running was so wonderful... So they're running back to Jerusalem. It was a long run. At some point during this day, there's another interesting thing. We won't bother acting this bit out, but Peter also meets with Jesus. It's just your freeze frame. That means stop. You'll be there too quick. So Peter also meets with Jesus. I don't know where he was. Maybe in the afternoon he went out for a walk to try and clear his head and encounter Jesus. Just a throwaway line in a couple of places where the disciples say, oh, Simon's met with Jesus when these two get back. And also Paul, in one of his letters to the Corinthians, he says Peter met with Jesus. But it's not really in the gospel story very clearly. But anyway, so that also happened in the afternoon. Meanwhile, you're getting close to evening now, because it takes these guys a long time to run back. So I think at this point, the women, because it's Sunday night, have rejoined the men. So the disciples are all together, male and female disciples. Mary, where's Mary? Oh, you're there. Sorry, Mary. Mary Magdalene is there as well. So that's Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, James and John, and Salome and Joanna. And probably also there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and probably a couple of other Marys, sporadic Marys. But so they're there, and finally the two disciples get to this house, Clopas and Mary, would be Mary, and they start to report to them exactly what's happened. But while they're doing that, and they're in a locked room because they're frightened that people are going to persecute them, so the doors are locked, everything's tied down, the big group's there, Jesus appears right in the middle of them. It's a good job the real Jesus didn't miss his cues, wasn't it? Yes, you appear in the middle of them all. They think it's a ghost. They're actually frightened. So what happens is that Jesus... It says here that... So Jesus lets them touch him. He shows them his hands and his feet. And funnily enough, he even eats. It's a nice little touch, really. But he's showing them that he's real. He actually eats a piece of fish. So they must have been eating fish for their supper. Eat your fish up, Jesus. And so he eats his piece of fish. And he says to them, the key thing he says to them in all this time of proof is, peace be with you, is what he says when he actually arrives. Peace be with you. Which, of course, we've been looking, if you've been here on other weeks, a lot at this word peace, which in Greek is irene, or irene, and in Hebrew is shalom. Right, I'm going to let the actors sit down at that point. I think they all need a round of applause. Oh, you can come and get an egg. Get a couple if you've not got any before. Yes, a couple is two. All right. Are there any other young people who didn't get to act that would like one? Any other young... yes? Oh, there you go. Yes, you can define for yourself what a young person is. Any others? You have to stick your hands up. Kelly, you're young. Okay, there. And you were very enthusiastic. Yeah. Phil, there's no way you're young, but there you go. Anybody else consider themselves young? Are you two allowed them?
Thank you.
They look stunned. Anybody else? Oh, well, Peter and Anne, we just discussed how young you were earlier. Any others? Oh, a cameraman. Yay! Jesus, you can have another one. The narrator, yeah. He was very good. There's a few more there, so help yourself afterwards. To one. That was mostly aimed at the young people. Right. Okay. Well, I've finished, but all I want to just bring out of at the end, I just want to bring out 2 points, and then we'll finish. So if you can just give me 3 minutes, and we're finished for Easter Sunday. But there's one question that Jesus asks in that whole story, and he asks it here at the tomb of Mary: who are you looking for? I think that's a really good question to ask. I want to ask that of you this morning. Who are you looking for? The answer, you're going looking now, are you, Sam? The acting's over now. Who are you looking for? Because the way we live our life shows who you're looking for. The way you live your life shows who you're looking for. The way your life is panning out shows who you're really looking for. But maybe there's a kind of a question in your heart, a kind of, there must be more. And I want you to know there is. Because the person you're looking for, because that's it's a person, is Jesus. And now how that links in is with what he said when he appeared to his disciples. Notice he didn't appear to his disciples and get them to repent of their sins at that moment. So many people think that God is just someone that judges, condemns. But the whole message of the gospel is God loved the world so much he sent his son to die for them. He says he didn't send him to condemn the world. He sent Jesus to save the world. He's an answer. He's the answer you're looking for. And Jesus says, peace be with you. And that peace word is what God wants to give to you as you come into a full relationship with him. Because the word peace, the Greek word is Irene, which I mentioned, or Irene. If there's anybody here, Irene, that's where your name comes from. And it means peace, health, wealth, prosperity. Every kind of good be on you. It's a blessing of the highest order. So Jesus, when he meets the disciples, he's not just, hi, how you doing? He's saying, here's my peace. Here's my blessing. Here's my health. Here's my strength. Here's my wealth. May you prosper in what you do. And the Hebrew word, shalom, which might have been the actual word he used, probably was, means very similar. Wholeness, soundness, health, well-being, prosperity. Jesus wants you to succeed in the way you're living your life. That's what prosperity is. It's success. You know, so it's not become a Christian and be ever so humble and poor and not do anything. It's, I want you to prosper in what I give you to do. So it's a very quick message at the end of a lot of running round of the drama. But I want you to have that invitation this morning that if you don't know Jesus, or you've realized, if the answer to what are you looking for is not Jesus, even though you've said yes to Jesus before in your life, even though you've already become a Christian, you realize you need to get back to, I'm looking for Jesus in what I do. I'm not looking for money. I'm not looking to be just a successful businessman. I'm not just looking for a beautiful woman or a wonderful wife or an expensive car. I'm looking for Jesus. So there's two things this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to return to Jesus or to say yes to Jesus for the first time. And that's how we're going to finish this morning. And this is how.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.